You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Just found out that Michael Bublé is going to join us on Friday.
Nice.
Yeah, Fritzy reached out. He goes, should I reach out to Michael Bublé? We were talking about him a couple of days ago. I said, sure. Yeah, have Michael Bublé join us. And he was on vacation, and we heard from Michael Bublé's people, and he will join us on Friday.
He's on a mission to prove to you and all of us that there's something even more special than we may have ever envisioned about Michael, especially this time of the year.
All right. I think that we should all sing a line from one of his songs for Michael Bublé to judge. Are you guys up for that? I know Todd is.
Totally.
Bublé Friday.
Yeah.
Got the world on a string.
Yeah, baby.
Another rainbow.
Yeah. So Michael Bublé is going to judge. Does he know that we were having a little bit of fun?
Oh, he absolutely does. He's a very good sport. That was made very clear to me.
Okay. Because I'd feel really bad if he didn't know that we were having a little bit of fun there. Yes, Tom.
And we just heard word Ron Rivera will join us tomorrow.
Oh, good.
As will Tony Dungy.
All righty.
A great singer.
All right. Ron Rivera. I got all of his albums. Thank you, Todd. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Weird day in college basketball. Syracuse lost on Tuesday, second time that Coach K, Roy Williams, and Jim Boeheim have all lost on the same day. Duke's already lost two games at home this season, and they got beat by Illinois double digits there. Now, granted, it's not Cameron Indoor and the crazies there, but it's still Duke losing at home. I've watched some basketball, Creighton, Kansas. I watched that. I mean, I'm trying. It's just going to take a little while here before I really get all in, if I even get all in on college basketball. Let me get a couple of phone calls. Greg in Arizona. Hey, Greg, thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, thanks for your call here. My thing is the Ohio State.
Okay.
Being number four, Cincinnati, having not played in a while, had dropped a place, and then you have Ohio State, who's played five games. But when they were, 4-0, they moved up a spot to number three and recently just moved back. But do you think there's any favor towards Ohio State because of, I guess, the strength of program?
Oh, sure.
My opinion, Big Ten being a little weaker than the SEC. I'm a big Gators fan, but I still think A&M should be in that fourth spot.
Okay. I've said before, Ohio State to me is going to be in the Final Four based off of the history of Ohio State football, because there's nothing that says, boy, look at what we've done this year, the eye test. But I've said it, and I hate repeating myself about this, but it's a TV show, the Final Four. You want the blue bloods in there the best you can. A&M might be worthy of being in there. Can't see it happening. Cincinnati, undefeated. Can't see it happening. If Florida beats Alabama and Clemson beats Notre Dame, it feels like Florida, Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame will be in the Final Four. I think that's the only way that Ohio State gets shut out. But if I'm Ohio State, I'm already in the Final Four. And I'm going to assume Alabama's going to beat Florida. So that takes Florida out of the equation. Texas A&M doesn't have another game that it can schedule. And for those of you saying A&M and Ohio State should play each other, well, it's not going to happen. If I'm Ohio State, I'm in the Final Four. Why do I want to risk that on a neutral field against A&M? I'm already in there. A&M needs this more than Ohio State needs this. Plus, you have SEC and Big Ten. The safety guidelines, COVID guidelines, are completely different. Also, would it be CBS that carries this game? Would it be Fox? Because Fox would want Ohio State. They lost Ohio State, Michigan, and then the SEC with Texas A&M. There's just too many hurdles. It sounds good, but it's not going to happen. I'd love it, love to see it happen. It's just not going to happen. If I'm Ohio State, if I don't play in the Big Ten Championship, who cares? If I play the second place game in the Big Ten, it doesn't matter. As long as Ohio State wins, then they would be going into the Final Four. I mean, I just feel that that's what's going to happen here. Unless Florida shocks Alabama. Because if Clemson would blow out Notre Dame, I don't think Notre Dame falls all the way out. And if that game is close, then Notre Dame and Clemson are going to stay in the top four. Well, the loser would stay in the top four. Now, you might say, well, if Clemson loses to Notre Dame twice, would they fall out? And that's a discussion. You know, that, you know, we could certainly look at that. But I would think they want to keep Trevor Lawrence in there the best they can. But, yeah, I mean, it, as much as we love the underdog, we watch sports, we remember the underdog when they do something, you know, dramatic, out of nowhere. But it doesn't happen in college football. Like, you'll get, you know, Ty Detmer at BYU out of nowhere, Heisman Trophy. Or Doug Flutie out of nowhere, Heisman Trophy. But you're not getting those teams playing for a national championship. Remember when BYU, didn't BYU beat a 6-6 Michigan team with Robbie Bosco as the quarterback at BYU?
Yeah, like the Liberty Bowl or something.
Yeah. But you don't, sometimes you'll get the upset in a bowl game, but not where there's big money at stake here. Because Cincinnati, you could say they passed the eye test. But you have to have watched them to see if they passed the eye test. And Cincinnati has been consistent and been a very good team and a really interesting story. But they're not going to be playing for the national title. And it just feels like every year. It doesn't take any genius, any insight for me to say at the beginning of the year, Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. Right? Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. Now, you could then go, Notre Dame at some point is going to be mentioned in there in the top eight teams, top seven. But that's the deck is already stacked. That you already know and you have a preconceived idea. They're good teams. They got pedigree here. And that's where we are right now. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, you had it exactly right. I've got the preseason college football rankings. Clemson was number one. They had 38 first-place votes. Ohio State, number two, 21 first-place votes. Alabama was third, 2 first-place votes. No one else got a first-place vote. Notre Dame was 10th. So they're the farthest team to get there, but they've got, you know, history and NBC on their side. Yeah. They've got a lot of help.
Yeah, and you got a good team. You got a good quarterback, and it's Notre Dame. You're going to tune in. Either you want to see him win or you want to see him lose. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm going to miss watching Oklahoma lose by 30 in that Final Four game, by the way.
Wow.
Wow. They're the fourth. They're always the fourth team.
Yeah, but you could have said Oklahoma will be in there in the top five, and Notre Dame will be in there as well. So you know that there's three that are going to be in there. You absolutely positively knew that Clemson was going to be in there, Alabama was going to be in there, and Ohio State. And then you have one other team that might be an outlier. And I wouldn't consider Oklahoma or Ohio State an outlier. But that's what college football has become. I don't care if Ohio State plays one more game or they play for the Big Ten championship. It doesn't matter to me. Ohio State doesn't have to play another game, and they can still qualify for the Final Four. That's why they don't need to go, let's get A&M to, you know, play us, and or let's get a game against Nebraska. Let's play Nebraska again. If I'm Ohio State, I don't need to. I had all of these COVID cases. My coach couldn't coach. We blew out Michigan State, and then we'll play one more game. Whoever finishes in second place in the other division in the Big Ten will face them. All right, so what? It's not going to matter. Oh, they don't have six games. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't care about the Big Ten title, but I'd certainly care about being in the Final Four. DJ in Nebraska joins us. Hey, DJ.
Hey, DP. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, so with everything going on with COVID and everything, and everybody's trying different things and experimenting, wouldn't this be a good time to try to expand the playoffs just for this year to try it out?
Oh, we're well past that, DJ. You know, that was a topic, what, 6 weeks ago, maybe even longer. Where I said this is the year to expand it because you didn't have fans. You have athletic departments decimated because the amount of money that is generated by these football programs, this was the year. And then you wouldn't have had BYU scrambling to go play Coastal Carolina. Or maybe, you know, they would have faced somebody else. Like, it felt like BYU was really, really desperate to just have somebody notice them. And that proved to be a very, very tough opponent on their field, home field, and it cost them. But if you said eight teams get in, then maybe it's different. Now, maybe they still play Coastal Carolina. But, you know, BYU, anyone, anywhere, and it came back to haunt them. Because if that game's in BYU, I do believe it's a different game. But Coastal Carolina was better than BYU this weekend. Absolutely. But Cincinnati would be in. Iowa State might be in the Final Eight. Somehow they'd try to get Georgia in there. But at least you would have a better storyline than just these four schools that are usually in there every single year. James in Virginia. Hi, James.
Oh, good morning, brother. Thank you for taking my call. Happy Wednesday, man. We are Washington. I hear you guys talking about all this nonsense about the college football playoff, and I just wonder, is USC, man, they're undefeated. That's a blue blood 4-0 team right there, man. I mean, if they go 5-0, and they've looked good the past couple weeks. I mean, couldn't they squeeze in? Isn't that you bring in a whole other side of the country when you bring in USC? If we're talking about a television product, I don't know, man. I'm just thinking out loud, man. I'm still living off of the Washington win. You guys have a great day. Thank you, man.
Thank you, James. And Ron Rivera, your coach, will be on with us tomorrow. USC, it's been a long time since USC factored in nationally. And, yeah, they're undefeated, but you're not talking about a relevant national power in USC. Yes, Paulie.
USC started the season, preseason ranked 16th. They're 4-0. One of their games was at 9 a.m. Eastern or 9 a.m. Pacific time, and nobody saw it. It went overtime. The other night they played on Sunday, which nobody saw. They're 4-0. They're undefeated. They moved up one spot. They're 15th in the country.
Yeah. It feels like they have, not accidentally, but, I mean, they've won some games that could have gone either way here. So it's not where you go, boy, they passed the eye test. Even during a normal season, I don't know if USC passes the eye test here. And the Pac-12's been a mess. Yes, McLovin.
Is Ohio State worried about rust if they don't play? Say they got stuck at 5-0 because haven't they been disrupted through practices? Yeah. Remember when Ryan Day was on? He's like, I can't practice.
Yeah. And I think that is the reason why I'd want to play one more game. But I want to play it against an opponent that I feel comfortable against. And that is, if you say it's going to be Iowa or whoever it might be that they face, I don't want to go outside my conference to bring in Texas A&M. I risk everything against Texas A&M. If I beat Texas A&M, I'm still in the Final Four. But I'm not moving above Clemson, and I'm not moving above Notre Dame or Alabama right now. Now, would it help you if it would help in the seeding, probably, where they might be the third team. And, so then they would be facing the number two team in the playoffs. But if I'm Ohio State, I don't want to help Texas A&M or give them that possibility of somehow leapfrogging Ohio State. The Ravens handled the Cowboys 34-17, and the numbers aren't pretty if you're a Dallas fan because they rank last in the NFL in rushing yards allowed. And they certainly didn't help that number last night because the Ravens rushed for 294. The Cowboys had allowed 290 more yards in a game rushing one time going into this season. They have now done that twice in nine games. The last nine games, the Browns in week 4 and the Ravens last night. Also, Lamar Jackson has at least one touchdown pass and one rushing touchdown in 32 consecutive games. Longest streak in the NFL.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
I just saw this. Paulie sent this to me. I mentioned that Duke lost by double digits to Illinois, a good Illinois team. Mike Krzyzewski questions playing basketball during the pandemic. I would just like for the safety, the mental and physical health of players and the staff to assess where we are. What else does he say? Krzyzewski says most players won't be able to go home and visit family for the holidays. that this is a time when they should be able to do that for their mental health. We're just plowing through this right now. I don't know if Coach said that to start the year, but you lose back-to-back games and you lose home games as well, then I don't know. Does John Calipari feel the same way? Because he's losing games as well. But I don't know. Timing of that certainly is interesting. Also, Matt Campbell is at Iowa State, and his name has been mentioned the last couple of years as maybe somebody who could go to a bigger program. You know, could you see him taking over at Texas? Could you see him taking over at Michigan? Midwest guy. He was at Mountain Union for a while. I think Toledo, maybe another MAC school, Akron. And then he's done a really good job at Iowa State. According to a report from Dennis Dodd, who appeared on ESPN's College Football XM channel, despite reports to the contrary, Campbell's not interested in the Texas job. And the two jobs he has his eye on are Ohio State and Notre Dame. Well, I don't think they're going to be open anytime soon. Don't think so. I would think Michigan might be open, and him being a Midwest guy, would that be something that he would entertain? Yes, McLovin.
Is it assuming that maybe one of those two guys, Ryan Day or Brian Kelly, would go to the NFL? Remember the NFL Brian Kelly stuff was hot about a year or two ago?
I'm told that ain't happened. But I think that the, you know, Notre Dame fans, or the, at least the alumni, were like, is this as good as we're going to get? Is this, you know, do we have a glass ceiling here? And I think the win against Clemson, the fact that you could say they have a legitimate national title contender this year. And I think in previous years, we've sort of convinced ourselves that Notre Dame belonged in the Final Four, or they could hold their own against the big boys. Beating Clemson, I think that was big. Now, you can say Clemson had injuries or the COVID and they had no Trevor Lawrence, but you know, that was a big win, I think, perception-wise for Notre Dame, that they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama and Clemson. But I don't see – in fact, I think Brian Kelly just signed an extension at Notre Dame, if memory serves me correctly. And Ryan
yeah,
Day –
yeah, but do extensions in college really mean anything?
You're right. Ryan Day strikes me as a college coach. He doesn't strike me as an NFL coach. And I think Brian Kelly, I think that was always – I was told years ago – that John Harbaugh, this is where Baltimore wasn't sure about John Harbaugh, and that John Harbaugh was the heir apparent at Notre Dame. That there were alumni boosters who wanted John Harbaugh to take over for Brian Kelly. Well, things have obviously changed for both of those coaches, and they're not going anywhere. But, you know, Matt Campbell at some point is going to get himself a pretty good job. We'll take a break. We'll talk some more college football with Paul Feinbaum on loan from the mothership. It's coming up on 20 after the hour, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. Built Bar. Built Bar. Now, I have the Built Bars out in the mailroom, and I open up the packages, and I just let everybody back there because what is mine is everybody else's. It shouldn't be, but it turns out to be that. So I just said, let's not, you know, hide it. Let's just put it out there. And then I see Todd. Todd brings in a briefcase. And I don't know what's in the briefcase. He brings the briefcase. Yeah, you didn't think I noticed.
Okay, that's hidden cameras. Okay.
So he brings in his briefcase. Don't know what's in there. He brings it in, puts it on his desk, unpacks, and then he'll leave for the day and he'll pack it up and then go. So I see Todd putting in some Built Bars in his briefcase.
I did do that.
And I said, Todd, what are you doing? He goes, well, just for the trip home. And I said, well, okay.
The long drive. Got to have at least one of those.
Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, Built Bars. You don't binge watch, but you binge eat.
I do.
BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code DP. Get 20% off your first order. Promo code DP, 20% off. BuiltBar.com. Why not eat something that's good for you and actually tastes good. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get some more phone calls coming up. Tony Dungy is on the program tomorrow. Ron Rivera, the Washington football team. And, of course, you've come to expect guests like Michael Bublé, who will join us coming up on Friday. I was looking at the email chain that Todd was sending to Michael Bublé's people.
It's very entertaining.
And I thought, they have no idea who I am. And then Todd comes back. He goes, hey, Michael Bublé is all in. He wants to come on the show on Friday. And I go, okay. Michael Bublé.
But there were references to, I know you guys had some fun at his expense. So somehow, some way, even if they're not fans, it got back to them that we got cute a little bit.
He's Paul Feinbaum, ESPN radio host, and he hosts a show called The Paul Feinbaum Show, which is convenient because he's Paul Feinbaum, the voice of the SEC. Paul, thanks for joining us. What would you do if you're Ohio State this weekend?
I would call Michael Bublé for advice. I would hope that right now, Dan, and you, I know you have a lot better sources in the Big Ten than I do, that the Big Ten athletic directors are currently meeting and find a game for them. I think finding a game, and I heard you mention that a minute ago, is better than just saying, okay, well, you don't have to play this weekend, but you're in the Big Ten championship game anyway. It really isn't that complicated. I don't think this is, you know, they're hanging on, you know, Marbury versus Madison is case law from 203 years ago. I mean, they've made up everything they've done so far. So why not make up another week of worth of rules?
But also, I saw where on social media and some people have suggested Ohio State and Texas A&M. And I thought, well, if I'm Ohio State, why am I giving Texas A&M a chance to maybe leapfrog us if they would happen to beat us? Ohio State's already in the Final Four. Texas A&M is going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that we all yearn for a quality football game this weekend, which we are not overly going to be filled with that in terms of voracious appetites. There really isn't a reason. It's just for fun. It's a play-in game, but you're absolutely right. Ohio State will probably be in the playoffs as long as they have a game next weekend, and they'll either play Northwestern or Wisconsin or someone. And at 6-0, they will pass mustard. I mean, if the committee didn't think they were worthy, they wouldn't be number four.
Yeah.
And that's where they are right now.
Yeah. How do you see this playing out?
I think we'll have a resolution today.
As far as the playoffs. So your four teams, do you think, will be who?
Yeah. I'm still thinking of Michael Bublé. And when I saw that Steve Kornacki was on before me, I'm kind of wanted to go run. So here's the deal. I'd say it's Alabama. I think Clemson will beat Notre Dame, so Clemson gets in there. I think Notre Dame will still get in there, and it will be Ohio State, just like we ordered it before the season.
Can Florida beat Alabama?
I think it would take an extraordinary set of circumstances, and I don't see that happening. Right now, Dan, Alabama looks unbeatable to me. I mean, they are so potent on offense, and the biggest change is on defense. After the Ole Miss game 2 months ago, they were ready to fire the defensive coordinator. It looked like Saban was too. And they have really shored up and gotten extremely stingy. And on top of that, it's just an embarrassment of riches on the offensive side. Alabama has three guys that you could make a compelling case to win the Heisman Trophy. In Devontae Smith, the wide receiver, Najee Harris, who might as well be in missing persons right now in the witness protection program. You don't really hear about him at all. And he may be the best running back in the country. And obviously Mac Jones, who is a co-favorite with Kyle Trask to win the whole thing.
You start to look at this Alabama team, and when was the evolution of the offensive side of things for Nick Saban? Because he used to run the football and play great defense, but then it felt like, hey, he looked around and said, I kind of have to, if I'm going to get these skilled position players and they all want to go to the NFL and I'm going to compete with some of these other outliers in the SEC or playing great offense. Was there a moment where it changed for Nick Saban and his philosophy?
Yeah, it came really around 2013, 2014. Nick Saban thought he could influence the College Football Rules Committee and slow the game down. The hurry up was killing him. His defenses were not prepared for it. And he lost a national championship that year on the famous kick six play. And he decided, you know what, I don't think I can beat this, so I'm going to join. And he hired Lane Kiffin. There is no getting around. Lane Kiffin was the reason Alabama entered the modern era in offense, and Kiffin changed it. He helped in recruiting immensely. Kiffin played a huge role in Tua Tagovailoa coming to Alabama and a number of other players. And then, you know, Kiffin from there, Sark came in. Brian Daboll, by the way, was in between, and he was not particularly liked at Alabama, although he's now quite well respected in the NFL. And then Sark came back and just finished the job that Lane Kiffin started.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum from the Mothership, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, the voice of the SEC. I know that, and I was told this by a source, because I said, why don't we expand the playoffs this year, given everything that's happened? Athletic departments have been decimated. Now I get 8 schools in there. I get, maybe 5 or 6 teams that are at least playing important games and maybe getting a chance to get in there. But why would the SEC not be in favor of this? Because I was told that, and I thought the SEC could get half of the 8 teams in there, Paul.
It's true, but the men who run these college football Power 5 conferences, Dan, please, I hope you're sitting down. I know you are. They're traditionalists, and they do not like to change. I think we're pretty lucky we have 4 teams right now, the way these guys operate things. And you're right about the SEC, but the SEC still has a legitimate shot at getting 2 in. They have 3 contending. They have 1 automatic. And, they all see – I mean, we watched last August as, the 5 families of college football, the Dons, could not agree on anything. You had the 3 conferences wanting to play. You had the 2 that didn't. And that is the dysfunctionality of college football. The simple things don't ever happen. And by the way, this was definitely the year to do it. Yeah. And, you could direct a question to my bosses at the Mothership. They do have a say in this altogether. But in the end, Dan, it should have happened. Although I will say the opposite, the underbelly of it is I'm not sure how well it would have worked, because I still think the next 3 to 4 weeks is going to be a challenge to get these games in, especially with the semifinal game slated for the Rose Bowl. I mean, right now, can you go out of your house in California?
Yeah, you might have to relocate to Arizona. The Fiesta Bowl would be hosting the Rose Bowl as well. Would you rather have Nick Saban on the show or Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh. And I say that only because I've done Saban. I mean, you've interviewed Nick Saban. I mean, and he's the greatest coach of all time, but I know what he's going to say. Jim Harbaugh, I don't know. It's funny. Harbaugh is just one of the most complicated and interesting people in all of sports. And not that he really says interesting things, but I believe, and you may know him. I had the opportunity to get together with him about 2 years ago, set up by his brother-in-law, Tom Crean. And there were some complications, and it was my fault. I couldn't get up there. I was in California working on something. And I'm sorry that I missed it out, because I really believe deep down he's a fascinating guy. He's just not a particularly good college football coach right now.
Yeah, because that's always weird if you're – like, our job is not to have preferential treatment. Like, you're supposed to see it and then say it, not factor in, well, I do like this guy. And you've been brutally honest about Jim Harbaugh not being a great coach or being overrated, or I don't want to – I'm paraphrasing here, but
– I've said it all.
How awkward would it be, though? Like, if I said, hey, Jim Harbaugh would love to meet you, and he's going to be in the area. He's going to be at the Mothership, and he wants to meet with you at ESPN.
I would do it in a second. And by the way, I'm in my 60s now, Dan. I've had a career of having awkward meetings with people that did not like me. It wouldn't be the first time. So there's an art of the deal, so to speak, not to recreate a bestseller from the 80s and 90s. But I'm always willing to meet anyone. And you guys like us, we don't dislike people personally. It's just we say what we believe. It's not personal.
What's the most awkward encounter you've had in this job?
Interestingly, it was Lane Kiffin. I don't know how much time we have, but I'll tell you this quick story. I was on College Game Day in 2013 before they played, I think it was Arizona, and I said, if USC can't win tonight, Lane Kiffin should be fired. Well, guess what? They didn't win. And he was fired. And the next morning on SportsCenter pretty much blamed me for the firing. And I said he was the Miley Cyrus of college football. And I mean, I got so 2 weeks later, I'm out in the University of Washington doing game day. And I find out a couple hours the night before that Lane Kiffin was going to give his first interview. So I walk in the meeting and there's Lane Kiffin. And I was a little bit cautious. So I just decided, screw it. I'm going to walk over to him. I didn't know whether he was going to throw a punch. Not that I was overly concerned about getting punched out by Lane Kiffin. But I said hello. We ended up becoming fast friends. We started corresponding. He sent me a Miley Cyrus song the next day. And
a Miley Cyrus song?
Yeah, I called him the Miley Cyrus of college football coaches. So, he showed me his personality. So, I mean, after that, I'm really not afraid of anyone. But I've talked to people that I've called for their firings before. So it can be awkward, even years later. It does, to quote the oldest cliche in the business, come with the territory.
Yeah, and there are times you say something, and then you have no idea why somebody's mad at you. Or somebody will say, he heard what you said. And I'll be like, I have 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I've been doing this for over 30 years. Chances are somebody's going to be upset at something I said. You're never quite sure if they heard it or somebody relayed it to. And usually right. When they relay it to somebody, it's far worse than when they hear it on their own.
I've had people come at me from 25 years ago. It wasn't that long ago, a coach that I wrote an article about when I was a newspaper writer, and he was fired. He started attacking me at an event, and I'm like going, I mean, buddy, this is at least 25 years in the past. But, you know, to that person, and it's really a lesson, these things, they never leave you, although, you know, some of them probably could use some psychiatric counseling.
Of all the fan bases, though, What's the one that's maybe most sensitive or makes you a little nervous?
Well, I spent most of my life in Alabama, so I would never come after the Crimson Tide fans.
Or Auburn.
I have had more problems with Michigan fans because they just seem like they're everywhere. And until recently, I mean, I was about 2 years ago, I was walking down in Georgetown and a Michigan fan's like, came up to me and wanted to accost me. They are in another world because Michigan, even though they've won, I think, 1.5 national championships in 50 years, they still think they're elite. So when you criticize Harbaugh, and until recently, when you criticize Harbaugh, they took it so personally. They still take it personally, but they don't bother me as much. But they're probably the most difficult fan base I have had to deal with.
These comments aren't going to help that situation, Paul.
The good news is I'm not traveling to Michigan.
Yeah,
anytime soon.
Yeah, no reason to go there. Great to talk to you, and thanks for joining us as always, Paul.
Dan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Paul Feinbaum, ESPN radio host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, the voice of the SEC. I got a stat here for you. In fact, this deserves stat of the day music prior to the stat of the day.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
Najee Harris leads the nation with 20 rushing touchdowns. Devontae Smith, his teammate, tied for first with 15 receiving touchdowns. Last team to finish the season as the national leader in both rushing and receiving touchdowns, USC in 2005. Lendale White and Dwayne Jarrett.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
Remember Lendale White scored 24 touchdowns in 2005. Dwayne Jarrett had 16 receiving touchdowns. One of the great college teams of all time. Didn't Lendale White go to Tennessee? Does that sound right, McLovin? And I don't know how long he lasted there, but that was you had Reggie Bush and you had Lendale White in the backfield. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you remember when they did that prank where Lendale White and Pete Carroll got together and threw a dummy off the roof when things were going so well? Does that ring a bell? Yeah, like they did this Reggie Bush, Lendale White. They were so hot that Pete Carroll was running pranks in and during practice. Do you remember? Doesn't that seem like 20 years ago? Is USC ever coming back to that?
Oh, I don't know if they're coming back anytime soon. And, you know, it's just, what is the priority with the school when it comes to football? And you feel like it's changed because you had Pat Hayden in there. It just feels like Lynn Swann, priorities feel like they changed at USC. It's all about recruiting. It's all about keeping that talent in the city. There's so much talent there. Getting a couple of those players from outside California that want to come in. I mean, when you think about it, you know, when's the last time somebody in the Pac-12 got a recruit and everybody else around the country was like, how did we not get them? Whether somebody from Texas or somebody from Ohio, somebody from Florida, you know, that's usually what happens. But, you know, what used to be? Now, I watched the Washington game against Stanford. I've watched a couple of Pac-12 games this year. And you just don't hear about those marquee players, those marquee recruits there. And, you know, that's the problem I have with Michigan. You're in Michigan. You've recruited before in Ohio or Pennsylvania or wherever it might be. Jim Harbaugh will go and sleep in your bedroom if you're a recruit that he's trying to get. But you still can't find yourself a quarterback. And that's what I find amazing at Michigan. Feels like there are so many of these four or five-star quarterbacks. And maybe they just get the wrong four or five-star recruits. But it feels like, why is it Ohio State is finding these quarterbacks who are first-round draft picks and Michigan somehow can't? Yeah, Paulie.
And the transfer portal doesn't really help places like Michigan. It bolsters Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama again and Clemson. If I'm some guy at Indiana who's a good quarterback for a couple of years and you say, man, I could play my last year at Clemson or a smaller school than Indiana, but that transfer portal has actually helped the big boys.
We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, all of that coming up next year on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I saw them warm up for Springsteen in London, Gaslight Anthem. And singer's got a great voice, but I haven't heard much from them in the last couple of years. But I liked what I heard. Last call for phone calls this day in sports history. Final results of the poll question. We'll talk to Ron Rivera, fresh off the win, the Washington football team, as they put an end to the Steelers' unbeaten season. Tony Dungy will also join us on the program tomorrow. NBA dress code. I did not know that there was an NBA dress code. That now they're going to have a more relaxed dress code for the head coaches. I thought it already was a relaxed, you know, dress code for them. Did I miss something here? It always felt like that you could be a little more casual on the sidelines. Yeah, Paulie?
It appears that until today or yesterday, coaches had to start the game with a sport coat on during pregame introductions and so forth. But they've, according to Wojnarowski, they've loosened the rules and you could wear like a polo shirt and pants, but not like sweatpants, or it's more of like a business casual look these days.
Yeah. College has that. Yeah, Fritzy.
Is it going to get to the point where the NBA coaches have to wear some kind of sponsor or something on their jacket or whatever they're wearing like the players do? I'm curious if they're going to go in that direction.
Well, I don't know if they're going to make them like the NFL coaches have to wear logo attire. Like Belichick will wear that hoodie and it's got a logo on it. But I don't know if the NBA is going to get to that. You know, they were more concerned with the players and what the players were wearing during press conferences. And I remember when it first came out and everybody goes, oh, this is unfair. You know, they're singling out Allen Iverson. And I had to tell people because David Stern told me, he goes, this is about Steve Nash. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, Steve dresses horribly. And, you know, our star players and, you know, do I want a throwback jersey from Allen? No. You know, I want these guys to go in there and be presentable. And but he said Steve Nash would have like a, you know, he looked like he was out of Mayberry. You know, he didn't care what he looked like when he was in there. And then all of a sudden, these players realized this is a great opportunity that I can wear designers, I can wear clothes, I can wear something that I can somehow, you know, turn into a business model here. And that's what's happened. You know, these guys go into these press conferences and they get dressed up. But this was as much about Steve Nash as it was Allen Iverson when they had the NBA dress code. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Got a couple. The 1984 Eric Dickerson of the L.A. Rams became the second pro football running back to run for more than 2,000 yards of the season, breaking O.J. Simpson's record of 2003. And in 1984, Dan, this is one of my favorites, Walter Payton of the Bears against the Green Bay Packers ran six plays at quarterback. I'm sure all six of them were touchdowns.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Remember when we had Eric Dickerson in when we were in Los Angeles? And I said, look, I really appreciate you coming in. And he said he had to get up at like 5:30 to travel from where he lived to join us in studio. And he said, you know, I've had so many injuries. There was a time when I would have to sleep in a chair because I was like a reclining chair. And he said, I think it was at least 2 years where he had to sleep in a reclining chair because of all the injuries, all the damage that his body took over the years. You know, a lot of times we don't, you know, they give us something and then we move on to somebody else, but they have to live with what they gave us and how they gave it to us. You know, what kind of commitment they made. And Eric Dickerson certainly did that. Judy in Florida joins us on the program. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Dan.
What's going on?
I'm, as I said, I'm from Naples, Florida, and I'm a longtime listener, first time caller. 5'7", 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. And you guys, I just love your show. I run a lot, and so I listen to you when I'm running, and then when I come home, I put, now the Peacock, I put you on my phone while I'm working out of our home office.
Who is your favorite and least favorite Danette, Judy?
My favorite, I don't, I have a son with Williams syndrome, and Seton's laugh just makes him so happy.
Awesome.
When he hears Seton's laugh, he just giggles like crazy. So I have to say Seton because my son just loves his laugh. But I couldn't get you guys on Monday to give you my best, but I surprised my husband with the early Christmas present, a Traeger grill.
Awesome.
And it arrived over the weekend, so we seasoned it on Sunday, and we cooked out the last two nights. And I love it because I could use it. We used to have a charcoal, and I would be really nervous with it. But this now, I love it. I did it last night. We did pork chops last night. So we really, really like it. And the other reason I called, I know I'm talking fast. I get nervous. for Father's Day, we had him switch from his old golf balls to Callaway, and he had his first hole-in-one.
Oh, that's awesome. Judy, I'm going to have to go. Seton, give Judy a laugh here. That's what we learned. Brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick, masterclass.com/Patrick. Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera and Hall of Famer Tony Dungy joining us tomorrow. Hope you will too. One more item as we close out the show and forget the Yule log. The fire you should be focusing on is the one on your Traeger wood pellet grill. Fueled by all natural hardwood pellets, Traeger grills infuse everything you cook with amazing wood-fired flavor. It's probably every week, a couple times a week, I'll have somebody say, why is it so special? You guys talk about the Traeger grill all the time. I just said, you have to try it. And then it's easy to do, sort of set it and forget it. It's a grill that does, it does six things, six in one versatility. Obviously, it's a grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, barbecue, all in one grill. You can smoke eggnog if you want to, pies. You can do a turkey on there, a ham on there, Wi-Fi technology. So you don't worry about being out in the cold babysitting the grill. The Wi-Fi technology, you control the grill right from the Traeger app using your smartphone. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show or visit a Traeger dealer near you. Friday is the last day to order a grill and get it before the 25th.